My dad has always been a mystery to me, and he mostly communicates in lectures, which is pretty common amongst dad kind, but the way my dad does it doesn't really leave a lot of space to convey what I might consider to be important details. Case in point, I was coming home for a visit from college one day, and there's this lady at his house, and he introduces her as his friend, and she stays, and she keeps staying. And then a couple weeks later, I learned that on a recent visit back home to Vietnam, he has married this woman, and congratulations, I have a stepmother. And I was just like, wow, okay, wonderful. And I eventually got to see the photo album and, you know, the decorations, they look really nice. And I was taken aback by that. But even worse was the time that my dad withheld from us until the day after that he was undergoing quadruple bypass surgery because he didn't want to worry us. And, you know, it's not like we're estranged or fighting or anything. It's just that he communicates things on this need-to-know basis, and we kind of have different ideas about what that basis is. So about a month ago, I was watching a movie with my mother, who lives here, and it was a documentary called Last Days in Vietnam. And it's this movie about the evacuation of the remaining American soldiers and South Vietnamese military personnel at the very end of the Vietnam War, when Saigon was taken over by the communists. And, you know, this had been an event that had been looming in my family's history, and I obviously knew about it, but I had never before grasped the scale of the chaos and the confusion that day until I actually saw the film. And there's this great archival footage from the day, and at one point the camera just pans across this sea of 1,000 faces, and they're all on this boat that's meant for 200 people. And then when the camera pans, my mom pauses it, and she points at this man who's wearing sunglasses, and she says, "I think that's your dad." And I look at him, and I'm not really sure because he's wearing sunglasses, and also because I'm not really used to seeing my dad as this younger person. But the more we freeze and rewind, the more convinced that I am that it is him. Because this man has that same tight-lipped, dour countenance that my dad always has on his face. But also because my dad actually was one of the people that escaped that day on the boats. He managed to get out, and he left behind my mother, who was 3 months pregnant with my sister at the time. So I took a screenshot of this man, and I send an email to my dad. "Hey, I was watching this movie. By the way, is this you?" And eventually he responds, and he says something like, "I don't know if that guy really looks like me. I think I was on this other boat." And something about his response didn't quite ring true at the time, but I didn't follow up. So I wrote this article, which was a reaction to the documentary, and it was my attempt to just kind of react to this traumatic event that shaped my family's history and to process what had happened to us. And it was published, and I shared it on Facebook, and it was spread around, and eventually it got to my dad. And I was so nervous about this because I had written this thing that involved him and didn't clear it with him beforehand. And I wasn't sure how he would take it because I'd written it from my mother's perspective. And she talks about that day pretty frequently. Whereas with my dad, there's this gap where his perspective should be. So the weekend the article came out, I got a phone call from him. And I think I was in the middle of, like, brushing my teeth or something, and I dropped the toothbrush, and I just pick up the phone. And we exchanged the usual awkward, "Hey, how are you? The weather sucks." And then he brings up the article, and that he has read the article, and that he likes it, and I did a good job. And I breathe this sigh of relief. And then I press him again about this photo. He said he looked at it again, and he still wasn't sold. But, you know, those sunglasses looked exactly like the sunglasses that he had been wearing that day, and the shirt was exactly the same color and cut and everything. And I'm like, come on, Dad, like, there's this guy that looks just like you and was doing exactly the same thing that you were doing that day, and it's not you. And he said this really strange thing. He said he had the hardest time seeing his own face, and that maybe it's easier for other people to recognize him. So he talked about that day and more about my family history and what he was doing. And he told me about his eldest brother, Tran, who was sent to a re-education camp where he died. And this is the first time I'd ever heard about this uncle. And that day, when the radio announcement happened that the president was surrendering and that the country was over, my dad knew that he had to go. So he grabbed my cousin, and he just ran for the shore, which was 5 miles away. And by the time he got to the harbor, most of the boats had pulled away, but there was this one boat that was still left. But there was this huge line of people waiting to get on, and he knew he couldn't wait. So he picked up my cousin, and he put him on his shoulders, and then he just jumped for it. And he grabbed onto this rope that had been dangling off the side of the ship, and he climbed aboard, and he made it. And he said that he felt like God or luck had steered him to that exact point at that exact time that day. When he left Vietnam, he not only left behind my mother and my sister, but aside from my cousin, the rest of his family, including his own father, who he would never see again because my grandfather passed away shortly after the war had ended. And my dad didn't say this in so many words over the phone, but I could hear the heaviness in his voice that this still bothers him. And when he was on that refugee boat, he recognized several people in the crowd, and they would ask him things like, hey, where's your wife? Or did anyone else make it out? And he was asked this over and over again. He told me he had never wanted to talk to me about that day, that at first I was too young, and that later, when I grew up, it just became too hard. And he wasn't sure how to broach it since, like, I grew up American and sheltered and a world away from where all this happened. But then he read my article, and then it occurred to him that maybe I could understand, that he could start to tell me these things. There's so much that I don't know about my father, apart from this person who drinks Coors Light and likes to lecture me about getting married someday and proper auto maintenance. But as I grow older myself and I start to explore my own identity and who I am, I'm starting to realize that I actually do need to know these things, and that luckily, hopefully, I'll get to discover these things not alone, but with my father. Thank you.